Our first lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Written during the end of the Babylonian exile, when the Jews were preparing to return to a destroyed Jerusalem, with its theme of comfort for the people and the enduring nature of God and his incomparable power for them. These verses are some of the most beautiful poetry in the Bible. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, he who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord.
This passage was in the lectionary that we just read, and I think it shows that God is for the Eagles today in the Super Bowl. I saw on Facebook somewhere that in the Bible, Eagles are mentioned like 50 times, and Patriots are mentioned none. Just saying. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, 29 through verse 39. I'll give you the context of it in just a few minutes, but let me read it first. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want us to start with the Old Testament passage first. The Israelites, the Jews, they were defeated. They were broken. They for the most part had given up hope. The Babylonians had conquered them, had destroyed the temple, left the city of Jerusalem in ruins, taken the best and the brightest of all of them and put them into exile in other places throughout the Babylonian Empire. They were people without hope. They were a people that were downtrodden. And they get this message from the prophet. Have you not heard? Do you not understand? Has no one told you that our God is the God who created all things? Our God is the one that is all powerful, all sufficient. Our God has not abandoned you like you might think. Our God was not destroyed or beaten by the Babylonian God. No. Our God is with you still. And even though the prophet doesn't say this at this point in the scriptures, it is leading up to them going home, going back to Jerusalem, even though it still lies in ruins. Going back home. And then we have that wonderful verse, that last verse we read. Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength, and they will mount up on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and will not faint. Words of hope and encouragement, words that will lift you up and strengthen you and renew your strength and prepare you for what lies ahead. And there are times when we need to be reminded of this. Have we not heard? Have we not understood? Have we not been told that our God is all-powerful, almighty, the creator of all things, and will be with us during those times when things seem hopeless? Be with us during those times when disasters come, when sickness comes, when loved ones die, when dreams die, when there is no hope. God is still with us. And if we but will wait for the Lord, God will renew our strengths, and we will mount up on wings like eagles, and we will soar into the sky. Words of encouragement, words of hope, words of assurance. In our New Testament reading, our gospel reading, we are at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And we didn't read this part, but he's in Capernaum. This is the city where Peter and James and John and Andrew lived. He's in Capernaum. This is going to be his home base throughout his ministry now for the next 3 years, even though he'll be spending a lot of time traveling around throughout Galilee and Judea and even into Samaria. But he's starting here. And he begins in the synagogue that morning. It's the Sabbath. And he teaches. And the people are amazed at his teachings because he teaches as one with authority, not like their other teachers. And then he heals a man that has an unclean spirit. And if the teaching hadn't gotten their attention, certainly the healing did. After the service is over, they go to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Jesus goes and heals her. When the sun goes down and the Sabbath is over, everyone in Capernaum is gathering around Peter's house because they're bringing to Jesus their loved ones who are sick or who are demon-possessed. Now, you have to remember, in those days, they didn't have modern medicine. What we might consider a very simple ailment could be life-threatening to them. And what they didn't understand, they would attribute to demons or unclean spirits. And if we had been there and we had heard Jesus teach that morning, and we had seen Jesus heal that man with the unclean spirit at that service, and we had a loved one who was at home who was sick, or we thought had an unclean spirit, you know for sure we would have been there that evening when the sun went down. We would have been there hoping that Jesus would bring healing to our loved one. And so Jesus spends the evening talking and healing and being with the people. I suspect he was there till he'd seen everyone. And I imagine at the end of the day, he was exhausted. Because I will tell you, ministry can be exhausting. It can be very energizing and uplifting, and at the same time, exhausting. I got to tell you, Sunday mornings when my alarm clock goes off early, I'm like, ugh. I got to go to church today. I got nothing. Oh, I don't want to go. And so I get in the shower, and the water's coming on me, and I'm starting to wake up, and I'm starting to think through the message again, and praying for the service, and get dressed, and come over here, and start to work, have my cup of coffee. And I start getting energized. So by 10 o'clock, I'm ready to go. And I believe I've got something you need to hear. And then after the service is over, I greet folks. I hope to talk to people during the refreshment time. And if we have other things going on afterwards, I try to participate in these things. And it's all very uplifting and energizing. And I go home and I'm all of a sudden very tired. And my family knows not to ask much of me on a Sunday afternoon. And very often I'll nap. So ministry is energizing, but tiring. And Jesus, I'm sure, was exhausted that evening. But then we're told he got up early, before the sun came up, went off to be by himself to spend time with his Father, to spend time in prayer. And here, he's being renewed. His strength is being renewed. He is being re-energized, ready to go. And Peter and some of the others come looking for him. And when they find him, they say, hey, everybody's looking for you. Because Jesus is this hot commodity right now. And everybody in Capernaum is excited to have Jesus there. And they want him around. And probably the word is starting to spread to other little towns and villages. And Jesus says, we got to pack up and go. We got other places we need to go. His priorities are being set after he spends this time in prayer. Let us go to the other towns and villages where we can preach and heal in these places. We need that renewal from prayer. That's how we wait on the Lord. That's how we renew our strength. Last Sunday we had a town hall meeting. And I thought it went very well. Many of you were there and participated in it. I can tell you that those who had planned it and carried it out, they were very happy after it was over. Their biggest fear was that nobody would say anything, nobody would offer any input, nobody would have any questions, and that it would be over in 10 minutes and it would be just a real dud. And they were very pleasantly surprised at the energy that they saw, the suggestions that were made, the questions that were asked. And Monday morning, the email started flying back and forth, and it was questions they were saying, what now? What do we do now? And so they met this week, and we talked about what was said, what was asked, what was suggested, with the idea of what are the priorities that we see coming out of this. And there were several priorities we saw. One was communication. How do we better communicate with everyone in the congregation so the people know what's happening? A second priority is worship. How do we spend this time we have together so that it is dynamic worship, so that it is transforming worship? How do we do that? The third was Christian education. How do we care for our people and for their spiritual formation? And not just the kids, but everyone. Because our Christian formation does not stop when we reach adulthood. It goes throughout our life. It's a lifelong process. So how are we growing spiritually? All of us. And then the fourth one was caring relationships. How do we care for our people, our sick and our shut-ins? But not just them, but those that are going through difficult times. Those that for some reason or another can't be with us now. How do we reach out to them and care for them? And then there was the thought of, how do we decide what new initiatives do we do? I mean, we threw out several last week. How do we decide which one of these we should do and which ones take priority and what are the feasibilities of these things being done? All these were laid out and we talked about this past week. And we're going to take these priorities that we see to session and encourage session to start sending these out to the various committees that should be handling them so that we can create, not just that we can deal with these priorities, but create a strategy and a plan so that we are very effectively dealing with these priorities. One of the things we also heard is that we need to be doing town hall meetings, perhaps every other month or at least once a quarter, so that people have a chance to give their input and hear what all is going on. I'm excited with what's happening right now. And I want to bring it back to our passages that we read, because we need to be renewing our strength. And we do this by waiting on the Lord, waiting for the Lord. And we do it primarily through prayer, the way Jesus renewed his strength. And we as a church need to be praying about these matters. And that means you need to be praying about these matters. When we say the church, you are the church. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the session. It's all of us. And we need to be praying for the priorities of our church, the directions that we need to be moving, the plans and the strategies we need to be implementing. Praying for our members, for how we care for one another, and how we grow in our faith. All these things are important, and we need to be praying so that our strength is renewed, so that we can mount up on wings like eagles and soar into the sky. And we can run and not grow weary. And we can walk and not faint. This is our call for now. So let us pray. Lord, we do pray for our church. We thank you for the excitement and the energy that was in last week's town hall meeting. And we pray that we don't let it just drop. But we build upon that enthusiasm, that we determine exactly what we should, these priorities that we have, how we should deal with them, how we can improve our communication, how we can have dynamic, transforming worship, how we can be growing in our spiritual faith, and how we can care for one another, and that we might know ways that we can reach outside of our church. Be at work in all these matters, be at work in our lives. We might be waiting on you, that our strength might be renewed, and that we might soar like the eagles. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.